Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave.
Good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley, sitting in for our beloved Bert Harper, and it's my pleasure and privilege to be on the program with Dr. Alex McFarland. And the topic we're going to cover today is just that: when we're called away from the grave, when we are told that our bodies will be changed, and we are told that we will have a new and heavenly body. This, of course, is found in First Corinthians 15:36, and that's the topic of discussion for this afternoon on Exploring the Word, and I'll ask you to go ahead and turn your scriptures towards that. And while I do, let me bring in the gentleman who is the regular host and co-host of the program, Dr. Alex McFarland. By the way, if you'd like Alex to come speak at your church, as he does in many churches across the country, you can find out information on that at alexmcfarland.com. Hey, brother.
Hello, my friend. It surely is good to be on with you.
Well, it's good to be on with you as well, sir. Now, I'm not sure where Bert is today. I know that he is going to be out all week. I think he is headed to preach somewhere, as you often are.
Yeah. He's on the road. He's very much in demand. But listen, folks, you are in for a treat whenever you get to hear Jim Stanley, because in addition to doing a masterful job running a radio network, he's a man of the word himself. And Jim, it's an honor to be on with you. And, you know, I've got to tell you, this is one of my favorite topics, the resurrection of Christ. And folks, if you've got your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to pick up about verse 35. Jim, the concept of a resurrected body is just one of the precious truths of Christianity, because, look, you know, we're sad to bid a loved one goodbye. You know, it's always, I know as a pastor, I've been to the home of many a bereaved family. But isn't it the greatest joy in the world when that person was a believer and you can say to the family, you will see your loved one again? Isn't that great?
Amen. And, you know, the importance of that is the fact that, you know, folks say, okay, well, we recognize each other in heaven. Will we do this in heaven? Will we do that in heaven? And Paul, I believe, answers some of that in here. But the fact of the matter is that we know, we've been told that there is a great cloud of witnesses who cheer over us and who you know, who are there, and that these folks, you know, I'm not sure how to exactly put this, but we know that those that have died in Christ are promised a resurrection, a bodily resurrection. Now, it's going to be a new and changed body, as we're going to read here in just a few minutes. But it's still going to be them, you know, because I think that we've been given a soul and it's been redeemed for a reason. Our physical characteristics may change some, but I'm going to know Alex. Alex is going to know me. I'm going to know my grandmother. I'm going to know those who have gone, you know, home before me. And so we're still going to have that type of fellowship, but our fellowship is going to go much beyond that, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, Jim, one of the questions people ask when they call in, and by the way, we will take your Bible questions later on in the program, but people ask, will we know each other in heaven? And as Bert and I were teaching through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, yes, in the Christian worldview, and this is unique, and this is a great comfort, you will be you forever. Mm-hmm. Personhood is not lost in Christianity. And the good news is you'll be a glorified, perfected you. And yes, we will know our loved ones in heaven. 1 Corinthians 13 says that we will know as we are known.
Right.
But listen to this as we get to 1 Corinthians. Benjamin Franklin, the famous name from colonial America, Benjamin Franklin was a printer, and he was led to Christ by George Whitefield. George Whitefield was a British evangelist who had a huge impact in the colonies. But Benjamin Franklin wrote his own epitaph, And it speaks to the resurrection truth of Christianity. He says, and he wanted this on his gravestone whenever he passed, he said, "Here lies the body of Benjamin Franklin, a printer. Like the cover of an old book, its contents worn out." And it goes on, it says, "But the work shall not be wholly lost, for it will appear once more in a new, perfected edition, corrected and amended by the author."
Amen. That's good
now,
stuff.
That's a very poetic way
but
to refer to the
surely that can't be on his gravestone, because our founding fathers, they didn't believe in Christ, did they?
That's what we're told, but indeed history shows that they did. And friend, aren't you glad there's salvation? That's a moment that you turn to Christ and are saved. Putting your faith in Jesus, you're saved. But then the rest of life is this wonderful adventure, a journey where the Lord matures you and polishes you up. And, you know, there's we call it sanctification, where we become more and more Christ-like. And one day in heaven, in the presence of the Lord, friend, if you're a believer, you will get a glorified body, no more tears, no more cancer,
right.
No more temptation, no more failures and despair. And we just celebrate that. I mean, this is worth getting excited over, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And, you know, so let's get started. Let's start it. I believe you said you wanted to start in verse 35.
Let's do.
Okay.
In fact, let me read a bit of this.
Hey, before you do that, pray for us, because you and I didn't have the chance to pray before the program, and that's something we normally do. So pray over this program and our listeners, would you?
Yes. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the text we're about to look at, and we thank you for this program and the American Family Radio Network. And Lord, I pray everyone listening will turn their eyes and their heart toward Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, if there's anyone here listening who has never put their faith in you, I pray today, even right this minute, they will call out to you and be born again. And Lord Jesus, for those that are Christians, Lord, deepen our understanding of your word, our gratitude to you, and our fruitfulness and effectiveness for you. Be with us this time as we get into 1 Corinthians 15. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So Paul asked this question in verse 35, "But some will ask, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. To each kind of seed, he gives its own body." Okay, now I was reading here out of the NIV. The point is this: if you sow a kernel of corn, you're going to get corn. And if you sow, you know, some other vegetable, that's what you get. Paul is saying that you sow a mortal, expired body, a dead body, but you're going to get a crop of something different. You're going to get a resurrected body. And that's, I will say, in the pantheon of world religions, this idea of a glorified body, that is unique.
It absolutely is. And you see there in verse 38, "But God gives it a body just as he wished, and to the each of the seeds a body of its own." And then it goes on in 39 to begin to break down what you talk about there, Alex, and then on into verse 40. But the promise is God gives us a body. We
Amen.
Have, you know, Paul himself said that he was ready to be offered up as a drink offering, that he was ready to lay down the sword, that he had fought the good fight, you know, that he had finished his course. And in that, I think Paul had absolute confidence that he knew there was going to be a resurrection. He knew it because he had met the living Son of God on that road, and in a blinding flash came to know him as Savior. But you know what, folks?
Amen.
Paul had to repent too. Paul had to succumb to the will of God to receive his salvation, just as you and I do. However, because Paul was the scholar that he was before Christ converted him, he just took all that knowledge that he had, and then he launched into the intimate relationship that he had with Christ, and he took that to heart, and he believed it with every fiber of his being, and that's why he could lay down. And Alex, I loved what you said earlier, that you have preached at different funerals. You have comforted different families. And folks, a lot of times, the only comfort you can give families is to help them cry. But you can help them transition those tears of sorrow into tears of joy by reminding them that we don't weep in vain. We don't mourn in vain, because we do have that hope of seeing them again.
Absolutely. Let me read 42 through 44. It says, "So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. Mm-hmm. It is sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised as a spiritual body." Okay, Paul is trying to refute a couple of things here. For one thing, there was some Greek philosophy that said there is no resurrection, that the physical body is evil, and if there is an afterlife, it's only spiritual. Then there were the Sadducees who denied the resurrection. Everything is just in this life. And right. I know most people have heard that little pun. The Sadducees were so sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. But let me refer you to Luke 24:39. Jesus has risen from the grave, and he appeared to his disciples. And in Luke 24:39, Christ said this, "See my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." Mm. So what do we get? Okay, Jesus rose. It really was him. It was not somebody else. He said, "Touch me." I mean, they were able to touch and see that Christ had a resurrected physical body. Now, it wasn't the fallen body, but it was a glorified body. And so this is, as Jim Stanley said, I mean, this is the great hope that we have, that one day you're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. You're going to be resurrected. And because he lives, you too, dear believer, you will live in a glorified, perfected, very literal, very tangible state.
Amen. And Alex, as you were finishing up there in verse 45, one of the things that we talked about is the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And we know that to be Christ, because remember, Christ said it was expedient for him to go away so that he could send the Comforter, so that he could send the Spirit among us. And then, you know, when you think about that, you look back to Genesis 2, and you remember that in Genesis 2, God did what? Well, he took and he formed man out of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. How much more so when we are called from that grave and we are perfected in that heavenly body, and we are made a spirit man more so than just a man of flesh.
Amen. Yeah, there was a song years ago. It's often sung at Christmas. It was by a guy named Alfred Burt, and it was called "Some Children See Him." Mm. And it's about Jesus. And there's a very famous lyric. It says, "One day the children in each place will see Lord Jesus face to face, like theirs, with bright and heavenly grace, filled with holy light. Believer, you'll be resurrected like Jesus one day."
You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. We're in 1 Corinthians. We started at verse 35. We're around verse 50 now. Stick around as Exploring the Word continues on AFR.
Do you believe that God can heal our nation? Economic turmoil, incredible debt, division in the country, outside enemies, people walking away from the church. It sounds like our country today, but do you know that was the status of America in the mid-1800s? But a few believers started to pray, and the result was the Great Prayer Revival of 1857 and 58 that brought hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. When we prioritize prayer in our churches, when we get desperate for God, making our churches houses of prayer again, we're joining the Lord in turning a nation back to Himself. How important is prayer to you and to your church? Maybe God has been stirring your heart to join with others in prayer for your family, your church, your community. Will you respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and obediently follow His leadership? I'm Stephen Kendrick for OneCry.com.
If you think that the cash in your wallet comes from your job, or that your health comes from good eating and exercise, Dr. Tony Evans says you've missed something. He'll help you look a little deeper today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
God must be your only source. Your job is not your source. Your bank is not your source. Your employer is not your source. Your sugar daddy is not your source. God is your only source. Everything else is a resource, a mechanism that God uses, and you must free Him up to use whatever resource He wants to use, even if it comes from something you wouldn't normally understand it coming from. Just because God is providing today doesn't mean you can't lose your job tomorrow. Sometimes things dry up. Economics dry up, income dries up, the Dow goes down. I mean, when God allows things to dry up in your life, it is because He has a different plan. And because your job is not your source, your boss is not your source, when they let you go, you go back to your source and let your source tell you where to go next. Because He's taking you to a different place, because He lets where you are dry up. So He lets it dry up, even though it's in a context of everybody drying up, because He has another place to provide. Don't get all shook up when it's dried up. All God is doing is moving you up to another location.
Learn more about living a life that matters, overcoming fear and discouragement, strengthening your faith, and more by requesting Tony's CD or DVD series, Elijah, when you visit TonyEvans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. American Family Radio. American Family Radio.
Let the power of your words dwell in richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with otherly wisdom, plant me deep like a tree by the stream.
Death is your victory. Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. This is Alex McFarland with Jim Stanley. Today we're in 1 Corinthians 15, and that famous passage I just recited, we're going to get to in just a minute as we talk about the resurrection. We will get to your Bible questions here in just a few minutes. And the number, if you want to write this down and you have a Bible question about what we're talking about or about something that we've covered, the number is 888-589-8840. And welcome back to the program, everybody. And Brother Jim Stanley, it's good to be on with you talking about the resurrection, which really, at some time in life or another, friend, you're going to need this comfort. And, you know, if life is good and everything is sunshine today, praise God. But sooner or later, every life experiences trouble and sadness and bereavement. And really, Jim, I guess I'm showing my age, but the longer I live and the more family members I have to say goodbye to, and I've buried church members and family members, and death is a reality. You know, Jim, I don't know what people do who don't have the hope of Jesus. I just don't know what they would. I don't know what I would do without Jesus.
Well, and too many times I think that, and that's one of the delusions of the time that we live in too, Alex, is that we have come to almost absolutely believe that we can have everything, anything and everything in and of ourselves. And the world is trying to sell us on the fact that we don't need a living God anymore, that we don't need a Savior anymore, because we are able to save ourselves. But when we are faced with just something unfathomable, when we see the disasters around the country that we've had, when we see the tragedies around the country that we've had, when a loved one dies, when we hit a wall, what do? We turn to someone beyond ourselves, because Amen. We find out that we are we're a very short straw and that we don't have what it takes. And that's when we find we do need a Savior. We do need Amen. A God. We need the Creator of the universe to come in and comfort us in our times of need. And isn't it interesting that even though we are a nation that we know was founded on Christian morals and Christian principles, Judeo-Christian principles, as we talk about, we know that to be the case. Isn't it interesting that some have tried to remove God from that, and yet our president, who has enough problems of his own, don't misunderstand me, he's the one that calls us back to prayer. He's the one that says, pray for our country, pray for us in leadership, pray for the folks here, pray for the folks there. Anytime there's something that has gone wrong in this country, his first inclination is to turn to prayer, and prayer Amen. In Jehovah God, not prayer to a different God.
Amen. Amen. And let me just say this, folks. You know, I love life. I don't mean to be doom and gloom. I mean, life works for me, and if the good Lord allows, I hope to live to be 100. But, you know, the shooter in Las Vegas that just, with no rhyme or reason, killed 58 people a month ago, and 500 were wounded, and there's terrorism, and there's violence. And look, if ever, my dear friend, and we say this in love, but if ever there were a time to have your house in order and to be right with the Lord and ready for eternity whenever that might come, this is the time. And this is why in every show we tell you to turn to Jesus and be saved. If you've never trusted Christ, he's as close by as a prayer. God loves you. He will save you. And that's the message of the good news, is that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, in 2 Corinthians 15, it talks about the first Adam and the second Adam. And Jim, we've had people call and ask, you know, what did this mean? Well, in the Garden of Eden, there was Adam and Eve, the first humans that are ultimately all of our parents, mm-hmm. Adam and Eve. Well, the first Adam sinned and brought death into the world, but the second Adam, that's Jesus. Jesus was fully human, but not fallen human. He was quite literally the perfect man, the Son of God. Deity, God incarnate. And 2 Corinthians calls him the second Adam. So it is written, verse 45, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The second Adam, or the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, that was Adam in Genesis. But after that, the spiritual, that's Jesus. So I got to read 47. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. Mm-hmm. Some translations say the Lord of heaven. And quite literally, he is. Jesus called himself the bread of life, the Son of God. Jesus is, quite literally, heaven come to earth to be our Savior. And because of who Christ is and what Christ did, who is he? God incarnate. What did he do? Pay for all of our sins on the cross. Because of that, Jesus is not only able, but willing to be your Savior if you'll turn to him.
Amen. And in 48, it goes on to say, as is the earthly, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Then verse 49, just as if we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. And a moment ago, that's what, when I referred back to Genesis and reminded us that God took and formed man out of the dust and then breathed into him, so too, when we are transfigured into our new heavenly body, then we will bear the image of the heavenly. You know, Alex, earlier you talked about the passage that said, you know, now we know in part, then we shall know in full. Now we see as though through a glass darkly, then we'll see face to face. That's what's going to happen. Right now, we are simply a rough draft of what God's going to do and how he's going to complete the work that he completed in his Son. And then when we have passed on and he raises us from the dead, then we also will be able to be changed at that moment. Paul reminds us that of that, and I think that's just a great thing.
That's a perfect analogy of like a rough draft. And we're going to be in the final draft, the perfected draft. Mm-hmm. But it goes on there in verse 50, and it says, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Now, very famous words of 1 Corinthians 15:52. For the trump will sound, the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will have come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And again, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Okay, let's talk about this for a second, because let's say that a person says, you know what, all of this born-again stuff, that's just not where I'm at. I'm a pretty good person. I'm going to take my chances. And, you know, if there is a God, when I stand before God, I'll just say that, you know, God, I was a pretty good guy. Here's the deal. It's almost like being invited to a wedding and you've got to have on a tuxedo or something. I mean, if you good deeds, bad deeds, your life score aside for a minute, folks, if you're not in a righteous, resurrected body, you're not getting in heaven.
That's right.
Flesh and blood. Adrian Rogers, he was a famous pastor, phenomenal man of God. He said this. He said, I wouldn't trust the best 5 minutes I ever lived to get me into heaven. Meaning, hey, friend, maybe you're a good law-abiding citizen, and by the standard of the world, you're a pretty straight-up guy. But compared to Jesus, we all fall short. And that's why you must be forgiven, righteous, born again, spiritually alive, regenerated. The Bible uses several phrases, but it means for your eternity, you turned to Christ.
You know, Alex, as you were sharing that verse, it reminded me of the verse in Hebrews 9:23, because what you said there and what Paul said in the teaching is that... Let me find it back real quick, because you talked about that. We were talking about flesh and blood not being able to enter in, you know. But isn't it interesting to note that there is no remission of sin without the shedding of that blood of Christ? Because we are not worried. You know, the body is so consumed with following the law. At this point, we need to be consumed with the following of the teachings in Christ. And know that because of His shed blood, we don't have to worry about our flesh and blood making it in. And that is wherein you've been talking about how we are saved, how we do these different things. Well, in that instance, when we are transfigured and we are brought into our new heavenly body, that's it. That's when we know we will be with Him forever. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Well said. And, you know, over the last, you know, 25, 30 years, in some circles, there's been this really desire to downplay or even ignore the fact that the Bible talks about the shedding of blood. Mm-hmm. The blood of Jesus was shed for the remission or the taking away of sin. And, you know, there's some of the greatest old hymns of the faith. And friends, let me say, these old hymn writers, they knew their theology. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn, yes, from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Friend, don't ever be ashamed to read those verses or sing those songs, because sin was serious enough. Sin was significant, serious, grave enough that for the washing away of our sins, the Son of God, His blood had to be shed on the cross. There is no other way to be forgiven and washed clean, is it?
Amen. That's the truth. And as we look towards the end there, we look where it says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Now, did you catch that key phrase there, folks? Knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. All Amen. This other stuff that we spend our time doing, that we spin our wheels doing, if it's not for eternity, if it's not to point someone to Christ, if it's not to help encourage someone in Christ, then all of that's in vain. Now, I'm not talking about taking care of your family. I'm not talking about working to put food on the table for your family or anything like that. We know that that toil is needed because that's what God has called us to do as both men and women, that we are to provide for our household. And so, but when you go beyond that, and even in that, though, your children should know that while you may have the job, you're not the ultimate provider of those things. All of that provision, all of your strength, all of your hope, all of your joy comes from the Lord. And then there in 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And that's why I wanted to reiterate that whatever we may do of flesh is going to die, but whatever we do through Christ, for Christ, is going to last. 1 John 5:4 says this, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Jim, very often I've thought about these great words of 1 Corinthians 15:58, because of Christ's resurrection and because of his lordship. I mean, Jesus is Lord. He is the name above all names. He is the soon coming King, and he will reward faithful service. And it says, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, you might be a preacher in a pulpit. Fair enough. You might be the one who sets the chairs out. You might be the one that empties the wastebasket or goes to visit the shut-ins. And it may seem like nobody knows or nobody sees or nobody cares. But friend, whatever you do, do it for Jesus. Because I assure you, Jesus knows, the Lord is the one we serve. There, Jim, you've heard the old saying, live your life for an audience of one.
Right.
That audience being Christ. Whatever you do as a Christian for Jesus, it's not in vain. It really, really matters.
It absolutely does. And, you know, when you think about that, some of the things you said, talking about being that person in the church who may be the one that moves the chairs, who may be the one that puts the chairs out, who may be the one that sweeps the floor, who may be the one that dusts the pulpit to make sure it's clean for when the preacher comes in and sets his Bible up there, maybe the one that simply puts the fresh bottle of water under the podium so that when the pastor's preaching and needs a drink, he can reach Amen. Down without even having to think about that and not worry about if it's someone else's, because he's going to know it was for him. Folks, when you do those things, as Alex said, you do it as unto the Lord. While you're putting those chairs out, pray for the person that's going to be sitting there later in the day. Pray for the pastor that's going to be preaching from that pulpit. Pray for the people that's going to walk on that floor to put you down some new dirt so that you have to sweep it up again. All Amen. Of these things Amen. Can be done together. And as Alex said, truly, when we do them as unto the Lord, we don't work in vain. But too many times, we want to work for that temporal attaboy rather than the things that truly matter in the long run.
You know, Jim, when the crowns are handed out, and look, it's going to be great. And the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema, it's not about salvation, but about rewards. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be very surprised at the crowns that have been earned by God's faithful servants.
Amen. Absolutely. Well, folks, this is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Cue up your call now at 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, or you can send those to us to email word@afr.net.
You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The Clinton campaign and the DNC paid over $9 million for the discredited dossier that led to the Trump-Russia collusion narrative. This followed Hillary Clinton approving the Obama administration's Russian Uranium One deal, though the FBI had evidence of Russian extortion, bribery, money laundering, and kickbacks, with millions going to the Clinton Foundation. The collusion narrative is a classic case of projection, where Clinton accused President Trump of the very thing she is guilty of doing.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
We at American Family Association are committed to making a difference and keeping you informed about the things you care about. We have already been greatly successful in bringing about change for the better by providing you with important information about things like current legislation and petitions that can affect your family. Text the word MYAFA to 41411 to get involved. Every week, you'll receive text messages with all the details you need to help make a difference for the kingdom. Text MYAFA, that's all one word, to 41411.
Is God calling you to pursue theological graduate education? What's keeping you from taking the first step? Is it time? What if you could choose from flexible class options? Is it money? What if competitively priced seminary offered academic scholarships? Do you think you're alone? What if your classmates were just like you, balancing careers and families with seminary? Hello, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Take the first step. Visit wbs.edu.
Isn't that a beautiful sound? That sonogram holds the sound of a baby's heartbeat. Hi, I'm Jim Stanley, General Manager for AFR. We're partnering with the Ministry of Preborn to help save babies' lives. Preborn partners with pregnancy centers throughout America in helping abortion-minded women choose life through ultrasound. By letting a mother hear her baby's heartbeat and see her baby in the womb, she will choose life 80% of the time. Ultrasound is a game changer. For $140, you can provide 5 ultrasounds. All gifts are tax deductible, and 100% of your gift goes to saving babies. You can save a baby's life right here in America by donating to Preborn. To donate, dial #250 and say keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we
welcome back
be
to Exploring the Word. Jim Stanley alongside Dr. Alex McFarland. We are in the, I think Alex is also bringing us back. Alex, my apologies. I didn't.
Oh, no, I'm here. I'm fine.
All right, good deal.
We're good.
The co-host today is Jim Stanley. The actual host is Dr. Alex McFarland. And I was about to ask you a question when I heard your voice, so I apologize for stepping over you there. You and I have talked many times about the different ways that you serve churches and the different things that you have. While you were here this last time visiting us in Tupelo, you mentioned some exciting stuff coming up for next year and Truth for a New Generation. Give us a quick recap on that, then we'll get straight to the phones and take phone calls, but also remind folks how they can bring you to their places.
Well, thank you, Jim. I really appreciate that. For a lot of years we've done the Truth for a New Generation conferences, and that's apologetics, Christian worldview, that's winning the lost, equipping the saved. Jim, we've brought in a lot of great speakers over the years, like Josh McDowell and, oh my goodness, Lee Strobel and people like that. Well, two things I want to make people aware of very quickly. Number one, March 23, 24, we're going to be in Greensboro, North Carolina with Josh McDowell, Abe Hamilton III of AFR. Everybody knows this incredible communicator. Lauren Green of Fox News, Todd Starnes of Fox News, so much more. We'll be making you aware of that. And then in the summer, July 22nd through 26th, we've got a youth camp, and we'll be doing this on the campus of North Greenville University in upstate South Carolina, just a few miles south of Asheville, to give you some context. But the theme is this. Now listen to this, folks. My whole life for His whole plan. It's a 4-day camp to really equip your young people to stand for the faith, not lose their faith when they go away to college. So you can find out at truthforanewgeneration.com, truthforanewgeneration.com. My website, and I'm on the road preaching a lot, is alexmcfarland.com. But everybody can keep up with me because, you know, Every day on Exploring the Word, we kind of, Bert always asks me wherever I am, and it's maybe 30, 35 states a year. I was just in Mississippi last week, Alabama over the weekend, and we had an incredible meeting. And Jim, a lot of people came up and they said, we listen to the program every day. And I just want to say, as we get to the phones, I want to say thanks for all of the Exploring the Word listeners that we meet in the churches, at the events, very often in airports and out in the way, restaurants. Hey, it means the world to us, doesn't it, that everybody's listening?
It absolutely does. I had the opportunity to speak at the church Brother Bert's interim pastor at right now. I was there a couple of weeks ago and had a couple of folks come up there who I had not known before, and they said that they listened to the program and they listened to American Family Radio and how grateful they are for this program and the ministry as well. And that really is. But at the same time, it makes you realize you got to be careful, you know, because you do carry the cross of Christ and you never want to bring embarrassment or shame to that. Now, I'm going to, because I'm still wrapped up in that flesh. But because of whose we are, I think that's something we have to take to mind, is that we have to be more accountable because of whose we are and not just who we are.
Amen.
All right.
888-589-8840, toll-free nationwide. If you have a Bible question, call us.
All right, here we go. Headed to Oklahoma and going to talk to Lou. Lou, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon. Peace and love of Christ, our King and Savior, to you, brothers.
Amen.
And to you.
I have a question. Revelation, Jesus was telling us, the Laodicean church, that we think that we're rich and have needed nothing, but we're poor, wretched, naked, and beaten. So he counsels us to purchase from him gold refined in the fire. What is it that he's telling us to do there?
Good question. Do you know what? I think that, among other things, it speaks of something that lasts. Now, the message to the Laodicean church is in Revelation chapter 3, beginning about verse 14. And, you know, Jim, what's interesting, for all of the churches, there was really a compliment, a complaint, a correction, and a comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And the Laodicean church was really the worldly church. The city of Laodicea was known for making fabric and medicines. And really, it was the only one of the seven churches of Asia Minor that really didn't get a compliment. The complaints, they were lukewarm, they were self-sufficient, rich and increased in goods. That's 3:17. And the correction, or the word of warning, really, obtain true riches,
mm-hmm.
which come only from Christ. Buy of me gold. There's three things in verse 18. Gold, white raiment, and eye salve. I'm going to say this, I'm going to throw to you, Jim. Look, they had a religion, but not a relationship with Christ. Like many today, the Laodiceans had rituals, but was devoid of spiritual reality. So I think the gold tried in the fire speaks of true riches, which only comes from Christ. The white raiment is Christ's righteousness, not self-righteousness. And the eye salve, I think that's the Holy Spirit that helps us to truly see what's real and frankly, to see life from God's perspective.
Amen. Good stuff. Lou, thanks for the call this afternoon. Real quick, I think part of that, how do we buy that? How do we purchase that? How do we acquire that gold from Christ? I think it goes back to what you said a little bit ago, Alex, and the things that we do for Christ, that then when we're in heaven and we see the rewards that are handed out at the Rhema bench, I think that's where that gold is actually paid off, if you will, that
wow.
we pay for it now by doing the things that God has called us to do. Understanding that doesn't pay for our salvation. Our salvation was paid for at the cross. But that's how we acquire that gold, is by
Amen.
Being faithful and doing the things we're called to do. And again, as it said in verse 58, knowing that your toil, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All right.
Let me say this.
All right.
You know, we talk about salvation is free, and it is. It's a free gift. But salvation will cost you the price of self.
That's right.
Won't it?
Absolutely. Good stuff. All right, we're going to talk to Bobby calling from Texas. Bobby, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word. And we are glad to have you on board with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Alex, I love you more today than I did yesterday, and I'm going to love you more tomorrow than I even do today.
God bless you. God bless you.
I'm about to finish your second book that you let me have there on the 10 Answers for Skeptics. But my question today, gentlemen, is on the book of Samuel. I was reading the book of Samuel, and the Lord sent, I want to get this right now. I don't have my Bible in front of me. But the Lord sent an evil spirit upon Saul. And I want to know, did the Lord actually send that spirit, or did he just give permission to that spirit? And did that spirit manifest itself as jealousy?
That's a great question. And thank you, Bobby, Joe, for listening. This is in 1 Samuel 16. Said, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Well, let me say this, that this evil spirit was allowed by God to really harass and torment Saul. There's an old saying, nature abhors a vacuum. I mean, if we're not filled with God and His Holy Spirit, we are going to get filled up with something else. Might be, you know, just selfishness or something that from our point of view looks fairly benign. But Saul was to the point of his rejection of God, his defiance against the Lord, that God temporarily allowed an evil spirit to torment him. Now, God is not evil. God is righteous and holy. But Jim, for a moment, we might ought to talk about spiritual warfare, because the devil and his demons would love to rough us up a little bit and interfere with our lives. Now, God mercifully prevents that mostly, but apparently one of the demons that was wanting to harass and harm Saul, for a moment, God allowed that evil spirit into Saul's life. But it wasn't God's fault. It was Saul's fault, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, because Paul had lived, and I'm glad you said that, because that was one of the things I was thinking about during your answer, is that the same spirit that came and tormented Saul, I think God is withholding from this country right now, because if he ever gives this country over to a reprobate mind, I think we're going to experience what Saul did firsthand.
Yeah, I think so too. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to restrain evil. And I really think that we need to be praying for God in his power and mercy to restrain evil. I mean, you know, I often pray this, you know, Lord, please send the gospel, but Lord, put up a roadblock against that which is false. And so we need that restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit in our land too.
Amen. Bobby, thanks so much for the call this afternoon. Wish you the very best. And we're going to talk to Alan now, also calling from Texas. And Alan, welcome to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks, Alex and Bert. Well, I know Bert's not there today, but Jim, thank you. I feel so naive and extremely dissatisfied with myself, not learning enough about and reading enough about the Bible. I have been reading a NIV Bible, New International Version, but I've also got an English Standard ESV Bible and a New World Translation Bible. I'm not even sure where it came from. And I'm trying to find out for my family and friends and anyone the best and easiest Bible to understand, in your opinion, for especially for family. And also, my other question is a Bible for children and young adults, like you were talking about earlier. There was someone on your show about 2 or 3 months ago, I believe, a gentleman that had an 800 number about mailing Bibles to children, and I've got a couple of nephews that I need to mail a Bible to in New Mexico and in Boston, Massachusetts, and I can't remember the guy's name or number, so if you can help me with that, I sure appreciate it.
I will. Alex, let me take a crack at this one first. Alan, what I want you to do is we're going to put you on hold in a moment, and when we do, I'm going to ask Cedra, who's our call screener this afternoon, to get your name and address, because what I'd like to do is send you a couple of Bibles for you to use, and they're for you and your family. One is a Jeremiah Study Bible. It's got some great study notes in there from Dr. David Jeremiah, And the only reason I'll send you that one is because Alex doesn't have one out yet. When it comes out, we'll send you a new one. And I say that tongue-in-cheek, but we have had a lot of compliments and comments on the vast knowledge that Alex has. And, you know, he's one of those guys that can write a commentary, that could put out a great study Bible and just put together some of the notes that he's made over the years. But in the meantime, I'm going to send you one by this upstart, David Jeremiah, and hopefully that will help you and your family. Now, as to the versions of the Bible, brother, the only thing I can tell you there is not use a paraphrased version. You want to be careful to use one that is as close to the original manuscripts and the translations from there as you can. Now, the Holman Christian Standard Bible has done a phenomenal job at that. The New International Version, from not the newest one that's come out, that's the politically correct version, and has whitewashed a lot of stuff and taken out some of the references to the blood, as Alex talked about that. I wouldn't use the new one, but I believe the old one came out in the early, maybe mid-80s, and was completed by 90 or somewhere right around there. And so that would be a good one. New King James is good. New American Standard. Some of that's just, you're going to have to kind of work through and see what's the best fit for your family. Now, the Bibles that we were giving away a couple of months back in August, that was from Revival Fire Ministries, and that was our Truth for Youth Bibles. And those are still available, and Tim Todd does that project throughout the year. So Revival Fires Ministry is the name of that ministry, and I can't remember the website off the top of my head, but I think it's revivalfires.org, revivalfires.org. And so, Alex, I will now yield to you, sir, because I have used the vast storage that I have, and it's empty, so I'm going to turn to somebody much smarter than me. Oh. I know that from the pulpit, you and I both still continue to use the King James or the New King James. But I know that you had, like a little while ago, you were reading from the NIV. Sometimes it really is what's most comfortable for that family, isn't it?
It is. And sir, thank you for calling. Let's talk a little bit about Bible translations. And let me dispel a rumor or maybe a fear. Don't fear that there's, you know, all these people with a different spin on God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
What they do with translations, it's really a blessing, but there, you know, needs to be a little bit of a clarification. Translators and publishing houses usually are always trying to get the Word of God in more and more understandable ways, accessible, where people can read it. Now, with all the plethora of translations out there, you might think, what one should I read? There is such a thing called a parallel Bible,
mm-hmm.
and generally a parallel Bible, they're really big and thick. I know Zondervan put one out, and let's say maybe in one column you've got the King James, and the next column you've got the New King James, and one column you've got the NASB, New American Standard. When you look at these parallel Bibles, you'll see that they're not that different. I mean, they're pretty similar. One caveat, my friend, listen carefully. I heard you say in the call that you've got one called the New World Translation. Mm-hmm. Beware.
Yeah.
Beware. That is one that's put out by a religion that is not Christian. They intentionally try to downplay Jesus' deity. Under no circumstances can you trust the New World Translation. And we'll elaborate more perhaps at a future date.
That's absolutely right. Alan, I'm going to put you on hold now. Stick around. Cedra's going to get your address, and it'd be my pleasure to be able to send one of those to you. Steve and Christopher, we're not going to be able to get to your call this afternoon. Alex, thanks for letting me hang out.
Let's do it again tomorrow.
All right. I think Wesley's in tomorrow, but if not, I'll be here. Folks, stay tuned. Tony Perkins and Washington Watch comes your way next on American Family Radio. Have a great afternoon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.